Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as promised, now our Christie administration correspondent, Matt Katz, who covered yesterday's Bridgegate hearing in the state Senate, where the witness was the closest person yet to Governor Christie, the governor's chief spokesman, Michael Juniak. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Brian.
And let's begin with this clip of Juniak on the witness stand, sounding perplexed about who might have ordered the Fort Lee Lane closures on the George Washington Bridge.
It was just so bizarre. It made no sense and had no value. So I don't know who to believe and why they would do such a thing.
Juniak was even perplexed, he said, after asking people in the administration who was responsible.
When we go to people and we ask them point blank, did you have any knowledge or involvement? You know, if they're saying no, if they're going to go into their own personal damage control to save themselves, there's not a lot that people can do from that other than, waterboarding, perhaps. I don't know.
Waterboarding, perplexed, perplexed, perplexed. And yet he drew this firm conclusion.
I can say with complete confidence and comfort that none of these people, starting with Governor Christie, had any involvement whatsoever in this reckless and perplexing episode.
Huh? Perplexed, but making a strong definitive statement there, Matt Katz. Were those answers contradictory?
Well, he's sort of a contradictory fellow. I mean, he is a key witness in all of this. He was sort of this unofficial intermediary between the Port Authority and the governor's office for the last several months, if not years. He was friends with David Wildstein, who ordered the lane closed. But he's also Governor Christie's longtime spokesman and continues to be his spokesman through this whole thing. So, I mean, part of the role there yesterday was both to keep himself out of it and to explain that he had no role, but also to stand up for his boss, whom he continues to work for. So that's, I think, where the contradiction was.
Is there a bigger picture of the Bridgegate world, according to Michael Juniak, to give us, like, what fundamental questions did he provide new answers to, and what new questions did his testimony raise?
Yes, although he was keeping the world small. I mean, the whole approach by Team Christie is to sell the point, and maybe this is true, we don't know yet, that this was just a small conspiracy among David Wildstein, this guy at the Port Authority, and Bridget Kelly, this wayward deputy chief of staff, and that it really didn't go any further. But Juniak offered some interesting tidbits that lead to more questions. For example, he told us that Wildstein had, told him that there were more people involved in Bridgegate many months before Bridgegate broke wide open. So Juniak said that Wildstein had told him that, for example, Bridget Kelly and Bill Stepien, Christie's campaign manager, were aware of the lane closures when they happened. And Juniak went to Christie's top lawyer in November about this, early November, 2 months before Bridgegate broke wide open. And then Wildstein told Juniak in December that Christie was aware of the lane closures. Wildstein claimed that he told Christie about them at a 9/11 ceremony at Ground Zero, and Juniak personally told Christie this in early December. So the questions that that leads to, which weren't answered yesterday, is why there wasn't more outrage, more investigation, more inquiry about into all of these other people who supposedly knew. All of those other people remained on the payroll. So, did they not just react properly? Were they just not diligent enough? Or did they know there were more people involved and they were trying to kick it under the rug and hope it would go away?
You're listening to WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio with New Jersey Public Radio's Christie Administration correspondent Matt Katz, breaking down the latest testimony in the Bridgegate scandal hearings in the state legislature. So let's listen to some of the reactions to Druniak's testimony and those fault lines that you just laid out. First, from the Democratic leader, Assemblyman Wisniewski.
We know today, based on this testimony, that this issue of the closure of lanes on the George Washington Bridge and the discussion about whether or not there was a traffic study was in, according to the words used by Mr. Druniak, in the front office bloodstream as early as late October. That was his testimony today. And he said that there was a level of knowledge, is explaining what he meant by it being in the bloodstream. There was a level of knowledge in the governor's office.
So, Matt, why does Wisniewski, as a kind of prosecuting Democrat, if I can call him that, refer to that timeline and the term in the front office bloodstream?
Because Druniak said that he got this email from Wall Street Journal reporters in October that showed that Pat Foy, Governor Cuomo's top appointee at the Port Authority, thought that these lane closures violated the law. And this email where Pat Foy said this was leaked to the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal reporters sent it to Druniak to get a comment. He's the chief spokesman. And he went to the governor's chief counsel, who was apparently aware of it. He was apparently aware that this email existed. So, the exact timing of when he went to him and how aware he was and who else Druniak talked to, there was a lot of I do not recall yesterday, which may very well be the case if Druniak didn't think there was anything here. But it does give the sense that, you know, it was in the bloodstream. I think bloodstream was actually a word that Druniak
he
might
did.
Have first used.
He used it, that it was in the bloodstream of the administration, putting it in a positive context, that they were looking at it in October, which was a month after the lane closures. And on that point, here's a clip of another Democrat, State Senator Loretta Weinberg, on what did or didn't happen once this became part of the bloodstream, once this became known to Governor Christie's chief counsel, according to Druniak, in October.
No one took the time to look into what really was going on here. They went into damage control.
And they probably did. But if that's the biggest sin they can pin on the governor, lack of curiosity a month after the incident was over, do they have much of a case against him?
Brian, we know just as little about his involvement in terms of actually like whether he ordered it or knew about it beforehand or gave a wink and a nod that we should go and punish the mayor of Fort Lee for not endorsing him. We know as little today as we did January 8th, and yesterday didn't really get to that at all. I mean, in fact, one of the Democrats said, I don't even think you had anything to do with this, talking about Druniak. And then and there were no real questions about, you know, he wasn't able to answer speculative questions. His lawyer wouldn't let him answer speculative questions. But yesterday was all about the cover-up and not about the question that I think a lot of the general public wants to know and what is most important for Christie's presidential run, and that's whether the governor himself was involved, whether the governor himself ordered it, and whether he knew about it before it happened. Whether he was involved in a cover-up or whether that cover-up was really just damage control or whether the damage control was really just, you know, controlling, you know, a normal dealing with a bad story that you kind of ignore it and hope it goes away.
Remains to be seen.
Exactly.
And here is the governor himself on the testimony yesterday. It happened to be the day of his monthly appearance on NJ 101.5. And so he said this during that.
The legislature has now had, 10, 11 hours of hearings to have two witnesses from my administration, one who has since left and one who's still there, repeat in public exactly what was printed in the master report. Absolutely nothing new has come out of this. And so, you know, they want to continue to have people read the master report in public. I guess that's what they're going to do.
The master report being Christie's lawyer, basically his investigation and report on what happened. And is he right as far as that statement goes, that nothing so far has contradicted Christie's Mastro report? And in our last 30 seconds, Matt, what happens next?
First of all, he's not right, because the first testimony last week, one of his former aides actually refuted elements of the Mastro report. So we know there are weaknesses in that, and we're still learning more details, and it's important to hear from people directly. Next, we have Port Authority officials who are coming in to testify. And then we have another former aide who is now a Republican operative in New Hampshire, and he's coming next month. And then Governor's chief strategist, Mike Duhaime, has also been subpoenaed. So this is going to keep going and going, and maybe we'll learn something.
And he'll keep coming and coming. Matt Katz, New Jersey Public Radio's Christie administration correspondent. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us. We have WNYC's business reporter Ilya Meretz coming up next. And we're going to look at a few stories that are in his pockets today. Three business controversies that have been covering that affect a lot of us. Casinos. You should have heard the fiery testimony at the town meeting in Orange County, just a little north of the city this week. He's got that. Airbnb winning around in court against New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. And of all things, the impact of the Ukraine crisis on New York real estate. Our business reporter Ilya Meretz coming up next. Stay with us.